gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know, it's brand new news and rumors radio show hosted by the G-U-double-T, Seth Gutwrench Guttenplan, here with you, as well as John J.C.D. DeMelli, last night known as the Ass Man himself. Welcome, John.
How are you? What's going on? And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Fuck it.
All right. Welcome to the show, John. We got a lot to cover. I know you have a whole list of things. I have a whole list of things. So let's get started right away. If you want to call in, the number is 760-888-5749. You can tweet me at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. And we will respond on air. So first things first, a news piece that went out, an interview with Chris Jericho, saying that he thinks Ryback should win this Sunday at Hell in a Cell. He thinks that CM Punk has gone as far as he can go and that there's no reason why Ryback shouldn't beat him on Sunday. What are your thoughts on this, John?
Well, as I said last night, I really don't have an idea where this is going. There's so many different ways it can go. As far as Ryback needing the win, I don't know if he needs the win like Jericho's saying he does. I think a great showing, a screw job finish or something will keep him hot. I don't think a clean loss will hurt him either. And as far as Jericho saying Punk's gone as far as he can go, you can never go as far as you can go, especially with there's so many, you know, still some big matches Punk can have and some big feuds. So I get what Jericho was saying because he also cleared it up a little later on in another tweet saying that, you know, it would be good for Ryback. It wouldn't hurt Punk. You know what? The best thing that ever, someone said it today, the best thing that ever happened to Ryan Reeves was him shattering his ankle, and you know what? He's going to be the main event guy for a while, and you know what? More power to him. I hope he takes off with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I also read that, I think, on Twitter from someone about Ryan Reeves, and you also mentioned that CM Punk can go farther, and you know what? You're absolutely right. CM Punk is not at the same level as some of the other future Hall of Famers. I like to think of him at the same level as John Cena, but, you know, if I'm being completely honest, I think John Cena is still, in terms of popularity, in terms of merchandising, in terms of what he does for the company, might be at a different level than CM Punk. Would you agree with that?
I'll agree with you with 2 out of 3 on that. I definitely agree with you as far as popularity because Cena does have the kids and that fan base. And as far as what he does for the company, I mean, say what you will about John Cena, the character, but John Cena, the guy, is just amazing. I mean, all his charity work, Make-A-Wish, all that stuff. I don't know if anyone, including Punk, could ever get to that level. As far as merchandise goes, I haven't seen the numbers recently, but I would think, I mean, when you look at crowds on Raw and pay-per-view and you see all the Punk shirts, I don't know. That may be close, but the other two, I definitely agree with you. He could never be seen on those levels.
Yeah, you're right. For those of you who don't know, I was at Raw on Monday night this past Raw, and you're right. There is a great deal of Punk shirts out there. I know that I ordered the DVD T-shirt package from WWEShop.com, so yeah, you're probably right. Merchandising is probably where he comes closest to John Cena. But in terms of the Hell in a Cell match, you know, there's a lot of debate as to which way they're going to go. And I think that the people backstage aren't really sure right now where it's going to go. The most popular thought is the Brock Lesnar interference. Do you think that's going to happen? Because that is what I am predicting.
I actually threw another name out last night. What about Mark Henry? Henry was booked as like the dominant monster. He was why not have Henry come out and align himself with Heyman, align himself with Punk, and be like, you think you're the baddest guy around? No, I am. And, you know, that'd be a great way to bring bring Henry back.
The issue I have with Mark Henry is that I don't see him as a long-term guy. I think that he's at the end of his career. I'd be more impressed with Brock Lesnar. I think starting a Brock Lesnar and Ryback feud is a lot more enticing than Mark Henry.
I agree with you as far as enticing and interest, but you got to remember something with Lesnar. You've got the limitation of the dates.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest issue.
And pay-per-view, whereas Henry could come in exactly as you said, as a short-term guy, you know, and Ryback could go over him. Ryback could go over Big Show, and then, you know what, you could have Heyman be like, I need to bring the big gun out to stop him, to keep him away from Punk, and you could bring Lesnar in for that, which by the time that would happen, could get you right around WrestleMania. This is the dates are the issue with that, and that's why I think maybe you might want to line up with you guys before you can get to Lesnar.
It's possible. I mean, before you said Mark Henry, if it turned out to be Mark Henry, I would have been totally surprised. And that's something that we're not seeing a whole lot of, is the element of surprise on WWE TV right now. Obviously, if Brock Lesnar does show up, not a lot of people our age are going to be that surprised. So I'll definitely give you that in terms of the element of surprise. But I think we should move on a little bit in the show. Do you want to bring up a topic?
Monday afternoon, the interesting issue, the interesting little tidbit that came out about AJ Lee being summoned to Stanford for an emergency meeting with the board of directors, and later that night forced to resign from Raw due to fraternizing with talent, who was later revealed to be John Cena. What seems to be where this is headed, and the reason why this came about so fast, is a lot of signs are pointing to next Monday night, Raw, in Charlotte, North Carolina, the new general manager of Raw will be revealed to be Ric Flair. It is being heavily reported. Flair has had an independent appearance scheduled for this weekend in Charlotte and has backed out of it. Now, we all know Flair's financial situation, and if Flair's backing out of a show that was going to pay him, he's got to have something big brewing. Steph, what do you think? Are we looking at the return of the Nature Boy this Monday? And do you want to see him just as the GM of Raw, or do you want to see him segue into the GM of both shows with Booker T removed?
Well, let me tackle that one at a time. First of all, it's been rumored for months now, probably ever since Ric Flair and TNA split up, that Ric Flair would come back to WWE and be a general manager either of one show or both. So it's definitely been in a lot of people's thoughts for a while now, and I see that as a good thing. I think that he is the perfect candidate to be a long-term general manager. I was talking with someone today about the constant change in management for the authority figures on WWE TV, and they really need to do something about it. Obviously, AJ leaving was expected at some point. Was it expected Monday before we got the news early in the day about her tweet? Probably not, but it being in New Jersey, her being from New Jersey, I thought it was a good decision. I think that Ric Flair should only be general manager of Raw. When you look at it, you see Flair with Raw, Booker T with SmackDown. That's two former world champions in charge of the two shows. And quite frankly, SmackDown will always be looked at as a B-level show as long as it's not live every week. So I don't see any reason for Flair to be general manager of both, and I kind of like the world champion, former world champion versus former world champion for the two shows. Maybe you could even bring back bragging rights, and Flair versus Booker T could have either a match themselves or they can create their own teams. What do you think about that?
I agree with you 100%. Because let's be honest, AJ can go back to being a diva. What's Booker T's option at this point? Going back to being a commentator, and I'm going to be honest with you, I have not missed him in that role. I think some of the exchanges between Flair and Booker, especially based on the history in WCW, could be classic. And I'm with you. Let's bring back that Raw versus SmackDown mentality. You know, bragging rights, that five-on-five match was always a cool little match. The champion versus champions with the lower belts was always cool. Yeah. Oh, excuse me there. Yeah, I'm all for it. I agree. Make Flair one show, and, you know, let's get it on with him and Booker.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of the bragging rights between Laurinaitis and Teddy Long, but let's be honest, no one liked either one of them as authority figures. And you had mentioned AJ going back to wrestling, and I think that's the perfect situation for her. I would love to see an AJ Eve feud for the Divas Championship. I think they're the two best characters in terms of divas on WWE TV right now. Natalya is probably the most underrated diva. However, I don't think that she would bring in as much interest as AJ versus Eve.
No, I agree with you 100%.
All right, well, let's move on. Again, if you want to call in and give us your take on any of the topics we've discussed so far, AJ, Ric Flair, any ones that we talk about, please call in and give us your take. John has dropped, but he will call back, I'm sure. He said that there was a possibility of that happening. So we will move on to another topic. In case you missed it on Raw, John Cena did announce that he has been medically cleared to wrestle. The feeling is that WWE officials will still take it easy with him over the next month or so. There are no plans to put him in the Hell in a Cell main event, but he is expected to have a role. There has been talk of having Cena face the winner of Ryback versus Punk after Hell in a Cell is over. And John is coming back to us now. John, are you with us now?
Yep, sorry about that.
No problem. I was just mentioning how John Cena announced on Raw that he has been medically clear to wrestle. He's still not expected to wrestle in the main event at Hell in a Cell. There are rumors that he may face Dolph Ziggler at Hell in a Cell. There's also talk of him having a role in the main event or just having him face the winner of Ryback vs. Punk. What do you expect from Cena at Hell in a Cell?
Well, as announced today, John Cena will actually be on the pre-show to address the AJ situation. I do not expect that to be his only appearance on the show. I thought Dolph's interview later on in Raw Monday night was basically a setup for a match. I was a little surprised that wasn't announced. I could see that happening, maybe thrown together during the pre-show. I definitely could see Cena getting involved in the main event. Early previews for Survivor Series are starting to come out, and the previews are pretty much hinting at the end of the Cena-Punk feud, but it doesn't mention anything about the title. So I would think we're going to see some sort of involvement with Cena Sunday. I was a little surprised that when he announced he was cleared to wrestle that he wasn't thrown into the main event, to be honest with you. I thought that was a good job on WWE to resist the urge to throw him in. I think in any other time they would have, but it was good to see them sticking with Ryback one-on-one with Punk. But we will definitely see Cena Sunday night.
Yeah, I think that if they inserted him, that would definitely have taken away a lot from the Ryback-Punk situation. I think a lot of people, you know, are either saying Punk will retain or Ryback will win, but it's not as obvious as a lot of the main events of the past few pay-per-views. I think that this actually is a great situation because it's not 100%, or it's not as predictable. Would you agree?
Yeah, and even when you read the reports that they don't even know what to do with this. So, I mean,
right.
if we're having a hard time figuring out, it's good to see that they are well. You know, I said this a couple of weeks ago. This feud is good. It works. It's just it's a shame it's limited in the time frame because you have The Rock lined up for the Royal Rumble. This could be a good 3-4 pay-per-view feud with the regular matches built up, then the gimmick matches. But you know, considering what they have to work with as far as limited time, they put it together really well. And I'm expecting there to be a lot of interest and a lot of intrigue for Sunday, which when was the last time you could really say that about where a main event was headed?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. All right, let's move on. Do you want to bring up another topic?
Yeah.
I know you have something about the Royal Rumble. You want to do that?
Yeah. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, early reports this week stated that WWE had plans to possibly have The Undertaker make an appearance at the Rumble. However, there are also some reports starting to linger out that he will not be the only former world champion appearing at the Rumble. There is talk of Batista, fresh off his successful MMA win, making an appearance at the Rumble. As of now, it's rumored just to be a surprise appearance, nothing long-term. However, you never say never in the WWE, and if he gets a good reaction and his MMA career went good, he had a good fight, who knows what the future holds for Batista. Seth, are you interested in Batista more than just a one-off or just a one-time nostalgia appearance?
Well, I know from reading about Batista that he was always open to going back to WWE, but I know that he's not a fan of the PG era. I think that's part of the reason why he left was to get, because he saw where WWE was going in terms of the PG era, and he really didn't like that. The issue I would have, I would be very happy to see Batista come to Royal Rumble, make an appearance, and do something. The issue I have is, and it's the same issue I have with Brock Lesnar, is if you, and even The Undertaker, quite frankly, is if when you have these guys who are making rare appearances, very limited appearances, not, you know, a regular character each week, you take a lot away from them. It's hard for me to get into any Brock Lesnar feud, and it's hard for anyone to get into a Brock Lesnar feud because he's not always there. And, you know, that is not good for WWE. I know people are going to watch Lesnar anyway. If Batista comes back, he would get a great pop. People would be really into it. But, you know, I know there's not a lot of logic, not a lot of realistic and believable things going on in WWE right now. So this Batista thing would just add to that. But when you have guys that are making rare appearances, it just makes their whole appearance and their whole timing in WWE not believable at all.
Okay. I mean, well, unfortunately, Lesnar kind of proved it can work when with the buy rate for Extreme Rules and SummerSlam, which is going to give probably WWE the want to do this a little more often. I'm really only into a Batista one-time appearance because, to be honest with you, I don't know where he would fit, especially into the landscape for WrestleMania with what they have going on. I don't really see a fit for him. He won't work with Undertaker because, heck, who knows if Undertaker's even going to work WrestleMania. Lesnar's got about three options on the table, Triple H, The Rock, Undertaker. Cena's got options on the table, Rocky, CM Punk. So I really don't see where he would fit more than a one-off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I totally understand. Between The Undertaker, CM Punk, The Rock, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, there are a lot of different possibilities for WrestleMania, but you're right. I don't see where Batista would really fall in that. I don't know if we're even going to see, like you said, Undertaker at WrestleMania. So, you know, it's hard to say where he would go. If it is a one-time appearance, maybe that would just be, you know, a cool thing to see as a one-time thing. But like you said, and I said too, long-term, I don't know how great Batista back in WWE would be and how much he would want to be in since we're not leaving the PG era anytime soon.
Right, and it's a shame because you could actually do things with him. There's the dream matchup with Lesnar that everyone, you know, thought we were going to get in 05 when Lesnar was talking to WWE, and then the talks broke off because Lesnar didn't want to put anybody over. I mean, I guess you could do Batista Orton again, maybe Batista Triple H, but the problem is the timing, is that WrestleMania season, these guys are already in programs, and, you know, I just don't see where he fits right now. It would be cool to hear the music, see him run out, maybe toss somebody, then get tossed, like the run-ins, like the, you know, returns have been in the for the past couple of years. But, yeah, like I said, not to sound repetitive, I just don't see where he fits right now.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's move on to another topic here. And if any of you have a topic that you want to discuss with us, feel free to call in and bring up a topic of your own. You can also tweet at me at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. One thing I actually read today that I wanted to bring up with you, John, was future plans involving The Miz. And the future plans are calling for The Miz to have a place back at a main event level in WWE. The Miz has had a very interesting career, especially since losing the WWE Championship. He went all the way down to be basically a jobber to Brodus Clay, back to being Intercontinental Champion, but a very weak one at that, in that he lost all non-title matches as Intercontinental Champion and only won when it really mattered until he lost it to Kofi Kingston. But I'm a huge Miz fan, and I remember that he was United States champion when he was Mr. Money in the Bank and lost the U.S. championship as a way for them to get the belt off of him so that he can then cash in his Money in the Bank and go to main event status then. So what's your take on the Miz's situation and whether or not he's going back to main event?
Well, to take the last part first, if he deserves to be a main event player, he absolutely does. What happened to him after he lost the title as Cena was outright disgusting, what they put him through last year. I was always of the mindset if R-Truth didn't get suspended, they probably would have beat Rock and Cena at Survivor Series. I know I was kind of in a minority with that, but I think that kind of hurt him. The little yo-yo with him this year leading into WrestleMania, then he filmed the movie, came back on fire. I love it. Here's my question, though, and it's the same repetitive question is, how far are you going to push him in the WWE title scene? You have a roadblock coming in January. So how are you going to push him with that? Are you going to push him to the world title? You've got five other guys on SmackDown that are going to revolve around that title. So I love the idea of pushing him. My only question is, what are you pushing him to, and how are you pushing him? Because there's only going to be so far he can go, unless they maybe plan on revisiting his feud with John Cena, maybe, you know, over the fact, you know, once Cena kind of gets away from the title picture for a little bit, unless they're going to make that a high-profile feud. You know, maybe something with Orton on SmackDown, maybe. I don't know how far they can push him, not because of his ability or because of his character, but only because the two world title scenes right now are so cluttered and full. I don't know where you can do it, unless this is going to be a slow build, and maybe post-WrestleMania he'll get a push into a title run, you know, with whoever walks out of WrestleMania as champ. I don't know where it's going, but I love the idea of it.
Right, that's interesting. Well, I will tell you that he is featured on the Survivor Series poster, and that could be a sign that they're pushing him. He's obviously the color commentator now for main event, the television show. So it's clear that WWE is a big fan of his. You're probably right in terms of the push should probably come after WrestleMania, because before WrestleMania, we pretty much have our main event situations already figured out. In terms of on SmackDown, I would prefer to see The Miz challenge for the World Championship, World Heavyweight Championship, maybe move Sheamus over to Raw and feud with Punk for the WWE Championship to give Cena a break there, and have Miz feud with Dolph Ziggler for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, this probably would require one of them to turn face, but you never know. And it seems like we're on the verge of never seeing Vicky with Dolph anymore, now that Vicky is the managing supervisor for Raw, at least until this coming Monday. So it seems like Ziggler might be on his own now. So I would like to see Sheamus move over to the Raw brand more, and SmackDown see Miz and Dolph Ziggler as the top two guys on SmackDown. What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely wouldn't mind seeing that at all. In fact, Sheamus Punk could be a great Elimination Chamber match for the title. Miz Ziggler, the match can be phenomenal. I just don't know if that feud can... I guess the fans could dictate who they would cheer for, which would probably be Ziggler, which I think making Ziggler a pseudo-face may hurt him, though. But, you know, if you make that third or fourth down on the card, while people may get pissed that the world title is so low, it may be the best place for them, because the two of them are going to work their asses off. And, you know, the match would be great. The crowd will be into it. It's two characters the crowd could get into. The mic work between the two of them would be great. And, heck, you know, if you really want to turn Ziggler face, have Vicky Guerrero turn around and align herself with Miz. You know, especially if Dolph wins the title Sunday, you could have Dolph turn around and say, I won the belt without you. I don't need you. Vicky gets relieved from her position and turns around and wants to go after Dolph now. What a better guy than Miz to be that guy.
Yeah, that's a great idea. One thing also I noticed on Raw Monday night, being there, the crowd was so behind Ziggler. During the Sheamus CM Punk Lumberjack match, people were chanting for Ziggler during that match. So if one of them turns face, it probably is Ziggler, because he probably has that much bigger fan base than The Miz. I also don't see The Miz changing character so much in order to turn face and be behind the crowd like that. While Ziggler, I sort of see, sort of like how Shawn Michaels was. After he broke up with Marty Jannetty, he was a heel for a while, and then, you know, went through the whole childhood dream thing. And I could see Dolph Ziggler doing a similar thing. He's been in WWE for some time, and I'm sure he wants to reach the very top. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, especially if he cashes this on Sheamus, I think the crowd's going to go nuts for it. I mean, Sheamus doesn't get heat, but I think people are starting to just be over it with him. And if Dolph cashes in on Sheamus Sunday, I think, yeah, I could see that, where the pop will be so massive for him and the crowd will be so hot for him Monday night, Tuesday night at SmackDown, that, yeah, he probably could have the easier transition into a face.
Yeah, and I don't know if you read, I think there was an interview with Booker T, and Booker T was saying that Dolph Ziggler, I think it was Booker T who said this, Dolph Ziggler needs to be more selfish. We know that Dolph Ziggler is best known for how well he sells everyone's moves and helps others look good, but in order for him to reach the next level, he's got to be a little more selfish and basically be a show-off more.
Well, he's definitely got the ability to do it. That's not the issue.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on. Do you want to bring up another topic?
Switching gears a little to TNA. A lot of people have been wondering the status of Bully Ray and his character, especially with the D-Von turn. It is being speculated that Bully will still turn heel and join Aces and Eights, However, the route he takes to get there might not be one that people are expecting. The word is that the indirect animosity between him and Hulk Hogan is playing up on Impact right now, with Hogan not wanting him to be Sting's partner, with Hogan not choosing him to face Devon on Thursday. And it looks like this Thursday, Hogan will not choose Bully to face Jeff Hardy, that instances like this will eventually lead to the heel turn of Bully Ray and his alignment with Aces and Eights.
Interesting. I have been watching TNA. I'm not as into it as I am into WWE. However, overall, I think this Aces and Eights storyline needs to end soon. But in any case, I do like the idea of him turning heel. I think that's a good idea. I think that him pretending to not be on the same side as Devon, only to join Devon later on, would definitely get a good pop out of the audience.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a case of him being pretending. I think it's going to be end up being a case where it's going to end up that Hogan indirectly forced him to turn, which would be a little bit of a different dynamic of it, other than him just saying, it was me all along.
Right. You're right. That's a very good point, and would definitely be something different, because we're constantly hearing, you know, who's behind Aces and Eights, who's doing all these things, but it would be nice to see someone join the group not through that way, but something different.
Right, like you forced me to do this.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to another topic here. There are some local advertisements. We were talking before about Survivor Series back to WWE. About Survivor Series, Miz is on the poster. Local advertisements for Survivor Series is teasing that the main event will be John Cena versus CM Punk for the WWE title. In addition to this, advertisements also indicate that Ryback and Big Show may be team captains for traditional Survivor Series team elimination matches. What's your take on this possible scenario?
I think you may be looking at, it may be another way you're looking at the end of Sunday. I like it. Survivor Series is a good way to get guys over. It's happened in the past. Ryback and Big Show are involved in important enough storylines right now that they're important enough characters that they can captain traditional Survivor Series teams. I'm really interested to see where the teams are going to end up being. I would just say load them up. I would say go like Ryback, Hell No, Orton, and like Kofi against like Big Show, Rhodes Scholars, Del Rio, and Miz. Just load them up and just let it be five main big guys just going after each other. With, you could let Ryback be the sole survivor. That's fine. I got no problem with that. Or if you really want to elevate Miz, you could have a Big Show Ryback, like double count out, double DQ, whatever, to maybe set up a feud with them and have Miz end up pinning like Kane to survive. It would help, you know, the Miz push. So, yeah, I like it. I hope they do more traditional Survivor Series matches.
Yeah, I agree. Last year I think there were a couple, but not a ton. But
no,
I was thinking there was more than one. I know
one.
Wade Barrett and Cody Rhodes won one match. Was that the only one?
It was Ziggler Morrison,
right.
Henry Big Show, a Divas match, and then the tag match.
Yeah, that's sad for Survivor Series because there used to be so many traditional Survivor Series matches during the pay-per-view, and now last year there's only one? That's ridiculous. What I was thinking initially was based on what happens this Sunday, I was thinking if Brock Lesnar does come and get involved, we might see a Heyman team versus, you know, a Ryback John Cena team. And I was thinking that they would take a break from having a WWE Championship match at Survivor Series because, you know, they want to get to Royal Rumble. They probably don't want to have every month have John Cena against CM Punk. So, I don't know, that's what I was thinking initially.
Yeah, that could work. It also depends, I guess, what they want to do at TLC. I guess that also could play a role into it. If they want to keep Cena away from Punk at TLC, then who knows. But if they have no problem going Cena-Punk at that pay-per-view, then, yeah, just load like I said, load up those teams. Load them up.
Well, did you see the poster released for TLC?
Yes, I know it's Ryback.
It is Ryback, so I mean, that could mean just about anything. All we know is that he'll be on the card. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. But, I mean, it's clear that WWE, and definitely for Vince McMahon, is a huge Ryback fan. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, what they set up for TLC.
Yeah, I think you may get an idea of where TLC is actually headed, possibly on Sunday. You know, you can get a little creative with it and kind of drift away from the traditional stuff. You kind of may have an idea on Sunday where it's headed.
Yeah, I think that based on what happens on Sunday, a lot of answers we will get a lot of answers because if Punk continues his long reign as WWE champion, that tells us one thing. But if Ryback becomes WWE champion, then it changes a lot of things.
If I'll tell you this now, and this is only how I feel, if Ryback beats Punk on Sunday, Ryback will drop the title of Punk at TLC because it will be the easiest way to hit the belt off him, let's say in a ladder match, without Ryback having to traditionally lose.
That's very true, either ladder or even table.
Yeah, ladder, well, I would go ladder only because you would expect Ryback to just powerbomb Punk through a table. So I would say ladder, you know, something could happen and, you know, Ryback being so big, falls off a ladder. You know, they could do something goofy like that without Ryback having to lose.
And Punk has some great experience with ladder matches with Jeff Hardy and others, and even Money in the Bank ladder matches. So he would definitely be a favorite to win a ladder match.
Right. And again, Ryback's not getting pinned, so he doesn't lose anything as far as, you know, his undefeated streak and not being, you know what I'm saying, not being pinned, whatever. So it's a way to do it. If he wins Sunday, he will drop the belt to TLC.
But if he drops it to Ryback and Ryback drops it right back to him, then that just ruins Punk's momentum and this huge reign. So why would they even do that?
Well, I guess you just got to take anything into consideration right now because they don't know what to do. And if you think about it, it won't be a one-month reign for Ryback. He'll carry it into Survivor Series, carry it out of Survivor, and then carry it into TLC. I agree. Punk should carry straight through to WrestleMania. But that's another conversation for another night about that. But I don't think Punk should lose Sunday, but I don't know how he's not going to.
Right. Totally understand. All right, well, let's move on. We have about 15 minutes left. Do you have another topic you want to bring up?
Yeah, one little small tidbit, more or less of a let's wish him well and he gets better. Wes Briscoe of TNA, he's the long blonde-haired guy in Aces and Eights, hospitalized this week due to low kidney function. So, you know, here's wishing Wes all the well and hope he gets better soon. The interesting thing should be what this does for Aces and Eights because he's been an obvious member that sticks out with Aces and Eights and has always done the main run-ins with Luke Gallows and with Mike Knox. So it should be interesting what they do on Impact this week with it. But again, you know, first and foremost, the most important thing is for Wes to get healthy. And that's, yeah, that's, I mean, that's real simple and basic on that.
That's interesting. Yeah, that definitely could affect things, and maybe he needs to be replaced by someone. Funny that Luke Gallows and Mike Knotts are the popular ones. I did meet them a few weeks ago. There was this event Shawn Michaels was at, as well as others. You can check out my picture with both Luke Gallows and Mike Knotts at gutwrenchpowerblog.com. But in any case, you know, who would they possibly replace him with, and what would this change in terms of the Aces and Eights storyline?
Well, I don't know if you replace him with anybody. I mean, you probably could just not have him be there. But, you know, he's been one of the more integral guys that you always see. He's got that three-quarters face mask with the blonde hair sticking out of it. And the funny part is he's actually done a couple of backstage segments with Kurt Angle, which has played into the whole, did they lock them out or did they lock them in? I think he asked Angle to travel with him for Bound for Glory. I think when this all gets revealed, it will be a cool little thing just to see Angle be like, oh, my God, this guy totally, you know, used me. I brought this guy to our events to, you know, beat the hell out of us. It's just another interesting dynamic to the whole Aces and Eights, character and the whole dynamic with it. So, I mean, it's probably something they can get away with for a week or two and then just bring them back and act like nothing happened, which would probably be the smartest way to go with it.
Yeah, that's what I would expect, too, especially since we're not really finding, they're not actually showing us who any more members are just yet, and they can prolong that as much as they want. We know that they prolong this storyline very long, and so that should be expected to continue.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're at a point where they have to start popping off a few masks here and there. You could do it with the lesser guys, like a Jay Bradley, Luke Gallows, Mike Knox. You could save the big guys, the vice president and the president, for the bigger reveals. But, yeah, it's getting to a point where you need to start popping masks off, guys.
Absolutely. All right. I think we definitely have time for at least one, if not more, news reports. One that I found interesting, Wrestling News World reported in July that Kelly was given time off from WWE to avoid her name coming up in Cena's divorce. It was reported that the two had an affair while Cena was married, so the company then covered Kelly by taking her off tours and giving her time off. After John Cena's divorce was done, he and Vince had a rumored war of words, which resulted in Kelly being released as part of this conversation. Vince then changed storyline angles to focus on Ryback and the angle shown on Raw where AJ got sacked as GM because she was fraternizing with Cena. This seemed to be a direct rib at Cena for the additional punishment from their chat. Vince is said to want to see if John will still be his model employee and go with anything that Vince can throw at him. What do you think about that, John?
I kind of read that today. You know what? Cena brought that on himself. You're going to mess around like that. You know, it's going to get out. Cena's obviously going to do anything Vince says. I mean, obviously he's playing off the storyline now. So I don't think it's going to cause any rift between Cena and Vince. I think they'll be fine. Cena will still be Vince's cash cow, and they'll just move on and be happy, happy, PG from there. I don't think there's a lot to other than just, you know, oh, this is the backstory behind it.
Right. And Kelly's not the only one he had an affair with. It's clear.
Yeah, I know there were talks of Mickie James.
Exactly. I was just going to mention Mickie James and, you know, he's John Cena. He's going to do whatever he wants. And I agree with you. It probably won't change anything. I kind of like, it looks like we've lost John again. But I will say that I like that, you know, we're getting into this edgy angle here with the affair Who knows with the PG era where that will take us, but only time will tell where this angle is going, how far they're going to go with AJ and John Cena fraternizing. I don't expect it to go too long because I think that they will get AJ back in the ring as a wrestler and not have her obsess or prolong trying to get back at being general manager. I don't think that she actually wants to be general manager anymore. I think that there were reports that AJ missed being in the ring. She missed wrestling. And WrestleMania is in her hometown of New Jersey. And I know that she wants to be wrestling at WrestleMania. So that could be a great opportunity for her versus Eve for the Divas Championship or some other situation for her at WrestleMania, because the AJ Eve thing could happen much sooner. We only have about 7.5 minutes left to go. I'm going to go ahead and plug some things here. Follow me on Twitter, at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. Check out my blog, gutwrenchpowerblog.com. That's Gutt with two T's. I want to thank ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check them out. They are obviously providing us with this radio show. This is our premiere. This is our very first Oh You Didn't Know news and rumor show, and we hope that you all continue to listen to us each week on Wednesdays, and I will play a little music here to give us a little break. We'll try to get John back and see if we can continue the show, so stay with us. To discuss with us here on Oh You Didn't Know.
First of all, I like the name. Nice touch. It's a good name for the
show.
Thank you. I kind of got in when you were on the tail end of the Aces and Eights thing, but I think you guys covered that. I just wanted to give my 2 cents on the whole AJ thing. I think in addition to her, Vince trying to, you know, test the waters with Cena and putting him in a gimmick with another diva. I think in addition to that, I think Vince still sees the drawing. I think he still sees AJ's drawing power. I just don't think that, you know, I think he knows that, you know, the general manager thing just kind of wasn't, you know, the right place for her as far as an on-screen role. I think he sees that, but by putting her in this thing with Cena, you know, obviously Cena's always going to be in the prominent role on TV. So he wants to keep her in one of the spotlights. I think and it'll be interesting to see how she kind of does this. you know, not she's not the powerful figure anymore. She's more of a sympathetic figure now. So it'll be interesting to see you know how she kind of handles this, and hopefully she can get some of that, you know, some of that momentum back that she that she had all summer. So be interesting to see.
Absolutely. I mean, she definitely has that drawing power that you talked about, and it didn't make any sense for her to become GM in the first place. She was a mentally unstable character. Why would you put that kind of person in charge as a GM? So I was glad to see her resign and no longer be the GM. Like you said, this keeps her at the top of the show. This keeps her as part of the main, with John Cena, part of the main program. And it could be a good transition to get her back in the ring, because I think that's something that she wants.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Absolutely. Nope, I hear you. So it'll be interesting to see.
Sam, do you see AJ going for the Divas Championship between now and WrestleMania?
Yeah, I mean, it would only make sense for her to be in that hunt. I mean, right now there's like five divas or like five active divas or something like that. You know, I mean, off the top of my head, you got Eve, you know, Caitlin, Layla, Natalya, Alicia Fox, and that's like all I can think of. Like, I think Tamina Snuka, but I don't even know where she's been. But other than that, I mean, you know, and I don't see how long they could keep Layla and Caitlin, you know, going with this feud. So it'll probably be, I would think, it probably won't happen till probably like December, maybe, if not after. But hopefully, you know, the road to WrestleMania will have her, you know, unless she's in some other prominent role other than the Cena thing, after this, unless she gets some, you know, other big storyline. Like, I mean, that's really the only way I can see her, you know, her keeping relevant. You know, she needs to be in that feud, especially if they want to keep the Divas Championship relevant.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think having AJ and Eve as the main Divas in the feud for Divas Championship will get a bit more interest in the Divas Championship and the Divas Division. Well, thank you, Sam, for calling in. I really appreciate it, man. And feel free to call us any Wednesday night starting at 9 p.m.
Good deal, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. We'll speak to you soon. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Again, thank you all for listening. Feel free to call in any Wednesday night at 9 for Oh, You Didn't Know. I know ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is still looking for a number of contributors. So if you're interested in writing or being on our radio show, please let Jay know, let ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com know. We would love to have you join the staff. Again, follow me at Seth Gutt on Twitter, and have a great night. Oh, you didn't know?